Tosfos that we started yesterday. That last part of Tosfos requires a little bit of thought as to what Tosfos is driving at. So I was not ready to do it yesterday because I had been through it, but hadn't really thought fully what Tosfos meant. But I'm interested if any of you figured out what that second half of Tosfos means. Right, you did Tosfos, Shlaim?
Focused on
what?
We weren't focusing on that Tosfos today. We weren't focusing on that Tosfos today.
Did you do the Tosfos yesterday?
Briefly,
okay. Did anybody do that Tosfos?
Which Tosfos?
The top Tosfos, the Lamed Vav Amud Beis. The first half is easy. The second half isn't that hard, but you have to think about what is Tosfos driving at. Tosfos had a kasha against Rabbeinu Chananel. What was his question? It's a very straightforward question. You have to think twice, then it comes clear. Benny? Of Chayyashes by saying, right? Right, and I think that this question works better within Tosfos' approach generally in the first brisa, that the machlokas between the two brises is not whether it's not really about nemonos, but rather about what. About whether she's becheskas mukas eitz or not. Right? In other words, the way Tosfos read the Gemara's resolution of the contradiction between the braisa, whether chereshes yesh lo knas versus chereshes ein lo tanas besulim, was they're working with the same question, which is chereshes becheskas mukas eitz or not because of getting injured? And the first braisa says, no, she's not. That's why yesh lo knas. The second braisa says, yes, she is. So if it turns out she's not a b'sula, well, he has no tainus because she's expected to not be a b'sula. So Tosfos says, why frame it as whether or not she's becheskas, in other words, why don't you just say that in latinus besulim means when he comes and says, when he comes and says that that lo matzasi dam, so we say to him, yes, because she's a mukas eight, but pischa is sagur, and that therefore, if he had come and said, a Pesach Basuch Matzasi, then he would be Neman. He would be Neman, and we would believe that she wasn't the Mukas Eitz. Why? Because the Mukas Eitz is Pischa Sagur, right? She has no Dam, but Pischa Sagur. So why did the Gemara have to come on to the answer, Har Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua? And Tosfos here might even be working with Rashi's Girsa. Yesh Lantanis Pesulim, Ein Lantanis Pesulim? Yeah. Yesh Lantanis Pesulim, if he's towing Pesach Basuch Matzasi. Ein Lantanis Pesulim, if he's towing. That would have been the answer. So, now, there's a supposition in that. Now, you have to think about it to understand the last part of Tosfos. The last part of Tosfos is a way of being docha the kasha. Right? Tosfos begins the last part with vishema. Okay? That vishema is an answer to this question. You want to know why the Gemara did not want to make the ukimta. Assuming Rabbeinu Chananel is correct, that by mukas eitz pischa sagur, but Ein la damim. You want to know why the Gemara did not try to resolve the two brises by stating that? So Tosfos says, I'll tell you why. Because they could not have read one of the two brises in a certain way. Now here, I want to give you a little background, which I gave you yesterday, but not intentionally because of this Tosfos. Okay, and one of you was pushing, were you pushing me on Daf Yod about what Amar Pesach Pasuch, about Ksuba? Who was nudging me yesterday about that? Somebody was nudging me. Yeah. So the Gemara on Daf Tes and Daf Yod deals firstly with the statement of Rabbi Lazar, Omar Pesach Pasuach Matzasi Neman LaOsralav. The way the Gemara understands that statement, again, it's not, I think, what Rabbi Lazar means if you look in the Yerushalmi, but the way the Bavli understood that statement is that Neman LaOsralav, but he has to pay her the ksuba. Now, if the husband comes and says, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, he doesn't have evidence except for his say-so. So, why is she Asura to him? Because of a very important principle that you should be aware of, which might even come up in Nida, which is Shav Yanav Shechaticha Deisura. If I say, I cannot have Nemonis on something, but if I say it's X, for myself I'm Nemon. And if I say that I saw that food got mixed in Mitarovas, let's say I saw your food. I saw your food, and I claim that Tarfus got mixed in there, and you don't believe me, and maybe there are situations, normally at Echanam and Bisur, but let's say there's a reason you might not believe me here. You might not have to believe me here. So a better example. I'm not going to go into the case, but it's a very, very important case. The last Mishnah Nedarim says that one of the three women who was originally believed to say something, but later on the Chachamim no longer believed her, was a woman who said, Tamei Anilach. If a woman said, I committed adultery, or let's say she said, it was an Ishes Kohen who said, I was raped. So originally they believed the woman and he has to divorce her. But later on the Chachamim said, we're afraid that really she just fell in love with another guy and she wants to get a divorce. So this is what she says. So the Gemara says, Tavi Raya, the Mishnah says, Tavi Raya Devaraha. She has to prove. She has to bring proof. So the Rishon Balei Tosfos asks, it's on the last Amud in Nedarim, I think it's Daf Tzadi, I think. The Gemara asks, the Tosfos asks, but why do we say that she's allowed to continue to live with him? We understand why he's not mechuyev to believe her, because it's a davar sheba erva, and she should have to bring a raya, bring some kind of proof. So mitzad him, she's not asura to him. But mitzad atzma, she says, I know, I had bia with someone who wasn't you after we were married. I was raped by so-and-so. So shavei nafshach tichad isur. It's a very important tosos. Whatever the answers, I don't care right now. But that's the principle here. Omer pesach pasuach matzasi, nemer osalav. He is asura to cohabit with her. She may not be asura from her vantage point, but he is. So he can't be mafsid her the ksuba. That was Rabbi Lazar, the way the Bavli understood it. But then the Bavli quotes Rav Nachman. And Rav Nachman, quoting Shmuel, quoting whomever, says, no, not only nemer losalav, I don't know if he says nemer losalav, but nemon lafsida ksubasa. He can be mafsid her the ksuba. Why? So that was what we mentioned yesterday. The chazaka ain't adam torech besudo masida. That you don't. The guy doesn't go spend $40,000 on the wedding just to make up something. You know, the first night. It's a little. It's an expensive bia. So you can theoretically have such a mach. You have a machlokas. Now, in the context, let's take a moment now and look at our brises for the moment. When we say in the first brisa that chereshes shota ailonis yeshlem knas beyeshlem tainas besulim. When we say yeshlem tainas besulim, is that la osra alav or la hafsida ksubasa? Now again, assume for the moment that we were going to. So what do kimta would Rabbeinu Chananel have made in that brisa? What would the taina have been? According to the Teretz that Tosis is suggesting, the Gemara should have given, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, I'm sorry for that long chain there, Rabbeinu Chananel Shita, that a Mukas Eitz, and Chereshes, we're afraid is a Mukas Eitz, that a Mukas Eitz has no Damim, but she should have a Pesach Sagor. So when you say about a woman who's a Mukas Eitz, when you say Lamatzasi Damim, it's like, yeah. But if you say Pesach Matzoch Matzasi, it's like, oh, that's a problem, because it means maybe she's not a Mukas Eitz. Maybe she actually was a Drusas Ish. So in that brisa for Rabbeinu Chananel, when you say Yeshlam Tainas Pesulim, which taina is he coming with when we say for Rabbeinu Chananel Yeshla Tainas Pesulim? Pes Pasuach Matzasi. That's the taina that's there. Okay, so if he says Pesa Pasuach Matzasi, now what's the din by Pesa Pasuach Matzasi? See, by Tainas Domim, when you have a case where you expect there to be blood and there's no blood, what does that accomplish? Does it aser her to him? Does it master the ksuba? Does it do both? What do you say? Danny?
Like both.
Both! In other words, that's Raya Gemura. I mean, there could be an explanation, but when he brings the sheet and there's no blood, that's a Raya Gemura. She should be asura to him objectively. You know, maybe she knows something, but bottom line, from his vantage point, she's asura to him, and she should lose her ksuba. So he's got a Raya that she wasn't the psuma. By Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas amorayim. So if you're going to say yeshlat, so when we say yeshlat tainis besulim here for Rabbeinu Chananel, which are we believing it for? The iser or for the mamanos as well? What is this brice about? Can you tell? The answer Tosa suggests. This is not how Tosa starts the answer. I want to fill it in for you because otherwise it's really hard to see. What would you say, looking at this price as it's talking about? Is it just Isser or is it a monetary loss as well? I promise that the answer is not on my face. You got to reread the price. Go look in the price. Danny, you want to interject?
I'll probably
read the price. Oh, you read the price. Alex.
Yeah.
You want to...
We're talking about the first price or the second price? Well,
of the two brises that are contrasted, are made as a stira, the first of them. It's the third brise, the total, or third section.
It seems obvious that it's money, because it's at the end of the
contract.
Rashi says, let's see them 2 bucks on, even explicitly.
Don't.
You don't want to get
It'll be a right from Rashi. But Tosas notes that one could argue that you can't see the first Braisa as talking about it has to be about Lafsidak Subasa, Yeshla Tanis Pasulim. Lafsidak Subasa, because we're talking about Knas in the same breath. So if you say Yeshla Knas, but Yeshla Tanis Pasulim, Mistama, it's talking about not only Tla Usralav, but Yeshla Tanis Pasulim, but Yeshla Tanis Pasulim for the purposes of Hefsid Masid Ksuba. If you're going to make the Ukimta, Tosas thinks that you should for Rabbeinu Hananel, the first brisa is going to be a Tainas Pesach Pasuach and Yesh La Tainas Pesulim, and she should not only be a Suratim, but based upon context, should be Mafsid the Mama. Okay, that would be the outcome if you were to make an Ukimta the way Tosas is suggesting Rabbeinu Hananel, and that's Tosas Kasha. Why not make that Ukimta? So now, who would be so kind enough to read for me? Who read this Tosas and is a brave soul? I have no volunteers. I've scared every... Oh, sure. Thank you. I was about to read it myself. What?
What?
I was about to read it myself, but now you have spirit saved me. Go ahead. Stop. Step number one. Okay. Maybe he assumes, Rabbeinu Hananel assumes, that the first Braisa, I don't know, everybody in the sugya, maybe Rabbeinu Hananel himself, I'm not sure. I assume it doesn't mean Rabbeinu Hananel himself, but doesn't believe that a husband is neman lafsidak subasa. I mean, what Tosa says that by saying les lechazak. I'm sorry. Correct. In other words, if you don't believe chazak of the toriach besuda masida, then a husband is not neman to cost his wife the ksuba by pesach pasuach mansasi. Okay. So now you have to know that gemara on daf yud. Okay. So that's the first step. So if this tana does not believe like Rav Nachman, but he holds like the Bavli and Mr. Reb Lazar that Nemanas Pesach Pasuach is only Laosralav, not Lafsidak Subasa. So then Tosa says maybe that's the way the first Brisa holds. That's the way Rabbeinu Hananel understood the first Brisa. Avagav the Ka'amar.
Avagav the Ka'amar. Idlotan Pesach Pasuach. Idakatan Pesach Pasuach. Hakinami Demashma the Neman. Shema Hainu Laosralav.
So now what's this Kasha now?
It seems, well, I'm not sure where he gets the sense, but it seems somewhere that Pesach Pesuach would be Ne'eman.
So he's looking now at the statement on our Gemara. E de katan tainas Pesach Pesuach, hochinami, he would have a tainas Pesulim. He's talking about the last Brisa. Remember, the steerer from Rav came from the second Brisa. What did the second Brisa say? It said that a cheresha shota bagersim ukaseis, eila tainas Pesulim. So the Gemara's ukimta is, yesh la tainas Pesulim if you say Pesach Pesuach. Ain lo tainis pesulim if you say tainis damim. So now when the Gemara says that there would be a tainis pesulim if he said Pesach Pasuach in the last second Brisa, for what purposes Tosa says? So Tosa says that might be only the Osra Alav, not Lafsidak Subasa.
Is it the same Brisa?
No, it's the second Brisa.
The second
Brisa. Right? The second Brisa.
The second Brisa doesn't necessarily talk about Knas.
Exactly. So Tosa says, "Avo brisa de leel mashma." Dum yodiknas. In other words, Tosa says that it's okay to argue in the second brisa that if you there wouldn't be tainis besulim if he said pesach pasuach matzasi, because that could be just laosra alav. Because the second brisa doesn't talk about knas, so it could be chayresha shota begeres mukaseit. But if it was a tainas pesach pasuach by a mukaseitz, a woman who would have claimed to be a mukaseitz, or even if we knew before, if it was a pesach pasuach, so then he would have a taina. For what? It could be just laosralav. There's nothing in the brisa that indicates we're talking about ksuba. But if you want to say that when the first brisa says yesh la tainas pesulim, and Tosas here is clearly working with Rashi's gears, if you want to say in the first brisa that yesh la tainas pesulim is a tainas pesulim of Pesach Pasuach, maybe Rabbeinu Hananel believed that the Tana, maybe Rabbeinu himself, and therefore he read the brisa this way, believed that we don't believe neman lafsidak subasa. We don't believe that tainas Pesach Pasuach, that chazak in antarech besuda masida, and therefore the ukimta won't work in the first brisa. That's what Tosa says. It's very clever, but it's too clever. Yeah, Ezra?
Why do you bring in that second Brisa?
Because the Gemara, in commenting on the second Brisa, says that Yesh la tanis pesulim, if he's utoin, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. In other words, look at the Gemara on top of Lamed Vav Amid Beis. When the Gemara says, E de katan tanis daimin, hachinami. Hachinami. I'm sorry. Either Rabbi Nachman's goes either katan tainis pesach pasuach. Hachinami yeshlo tainis pesulim in the second brisa. Oh, but hacha b'mayas kinan in the second brisa the katan tainis damim. So you see from the Gemara's who came from Rabbeinu Chananel in the second brisa that if he'd said Pesach Pasuach, he would have been Neman. So this is, yeah, Neman la Osralab. But you can't say that in the first brisa because Neman there, Yesh la Tanis Pasulim, is Neman lefsi the Ksubasa by juxtaposition to Kanas. It's very sharp. The only problem, what's the problem with this Teretz? Rabbeinu Chananel. Moshe? I'm sorry.
If we believe him, then we should leave him for all aspects, shouldn't we?
No, the Gemara has the Babli's understanding on Daf Tes is that Rabbi Lazar Omer Pasach Pasuach Zasi Neman La Osralav is only for the Isser, and he has to pay the Ksuba. We'd say in that case we would say Pihu Echshilo, right? His mouth has created problems for it because he's got a divorce and he's got to pay the Ksuba. I mean, he did the right thing according to Rabbi Lazar. He spoke the truth, but sometimes speaking the truth comes with consequences. Yes, but what is the problem with this answer?
Sometimes we don't usually pass on that way.
I don't think we pask in that way.
That this Mishnah would be written in such a with understanding that. Would be
correct. To assume, in other words, it's not like the Brisa has any external indication that you're not Neman Lashi the Ksubasa by Pesach Pasuah. So what you have to say, you're really putting things upside down. In other words, we're saying we had a better teretz to give in the Gemara. You're going to say, you know why the Gemara didn't give that teretz according to my Perish? Because the Gemara was assuming that brisa was only according to the other Ban Damar. Well, why don't you do it in reverse? Since there's no reason to assume that the Gemara was assuming that brisa was according to only one Ban Damar, according to Dafka, the other Ban Damar. Therefore, assume that this Teretz would not work to resolve the brisas. Therefore, assume that your Girsa is wrong, that your whole approach is wrong. You know, so I don't know if Tosus maybe thinks Rabbeinu Chananel paskins the other way. And if Rabbeinu Chananel did paskin the other way, then we understand why he'd choose to read the Brisa in that fashion. Right. Okay. But that's what Tosis is doing. Tosis is suggesting that maybe Rabbeinu Chananel understands that the Gemara must answer Ha Rabbeinu Gamliel Ha Rabbi Yoshua, and it cannot answer that Ha de Katan Tanis Pesach Pasuach, Ha de Katan, Ha de Katan Pesach Pasuach, Ha de Katan Tanis Damen by Chereshes. Because it would work in the second brisa, because Nema la Osrala, but it wouldn't work in the first brisa, because the first brisa is talking about being toin tainis pesa pasuach lahafsidok subasa, and Rabbeinu Chananel holds that he's not Nema lahafsidok subasa and a tainis pesa pasuach. That's what Tosus's teretz is. It's very sharp. Again, it's not a persuasive teretz, but again, I think Shua is correct fundamentally. It assumes that we paskin the other way. Why do I assume we don't paskin the other way? I don't know.
No, the Mishnayos
don't talk about at all Pesach Pasuach versus Tainis Damim. Remember, the Babli's whole construction is that all these Mishnayos are talking about Tainis Damim. The Chiddush of Rabbi Lazar was Pesach Pasuach. We have a new animal here. In fact, when Abaye tries to bring a raya in the Tesam and Beis for Rabbi Lazar from the Mishnah, the first Mishnah with the Girsa, Abaye doesn't have that Girsa, our Girsa. But if you work with our Girsa for the moment, that the Mishnah says, Abaye says the Mishnah implies, our Mishnah actually has the text either way, that the Gemara says, my lad the Katan Tanas Pesach Pasuach, and the Gemara says, no, the Katan Tanas Damim. It was such a bad raya in a certain sense, because what was the Gemara thinking? What was the Hava Mina? Why did you think that the Mishnah was the Pesach Pasuach?
Does the Mishnah
ask?
It seems to say specifically Pesach Pasuach.
No, it doesn't exist. Rabbi Lazar, I'm willing to bet if you do a concordant search, the first person to utter Pesach Pasuach is Rabbi Lazar.
Really?
And again, in the Yushalmi, and I think I said this on Sunday, in the Yushalmi, Rabbi Lazar is just coming to point out that all the Mishnayos deal with Mamanos. In all those cases, even when she wins the money argument, she's asur to mishum safek sota. That's all Rabbi Lazar in the Yushalmi says. Matza pischa pasuach asura mishum safek sota. In the Bavli, it's haomer pesach pasuach matzasi neman la osrala. Okay. So anyway, So looking at daf yud. So it looks like from the tzion. In the Torah. Where does it say? I mean, it doesn't use that expression, but L'matzasi David Chabes Sulim means the farsu asimla. Pshat is they take the sheet, the bridal sheet. Now Rashi says that yechavur nesadavar kisimla. You should clarify it, whiten it. But pshat is, I think the Ramban says it in Chumash. Pshat is with farsu asimla. There's blood on it. There's no blood on it. Alex.
In the second brisa, would it have been an issue had it said knas or that prohibited from malach to work?
Then you would have been forced to say, if it had said knas in the second brisa, then yes, then you would have been trapped. Then you would have forced to say that this gemara is working with the assumption of nemen lafsidah psubasa, and it wouldn't work. Because then, when the gemara says about the second brisa, Idikatan Tanis Damim Hochinami Yeshla Tanis Basulim will be Lafsidak Sabasa. Right. So you would be forced into that. But since it doesn't, it's mentioned Knas, you can say that when the Gemara implies that the second Brisa that he would be have a Tanis Basulim, that could be just La Usralov. Exactly.
So it's really only the first Brisa that makes the problem.
Correct. Correct. Okay. Was there a question in there? No hand. Okay, fine. That's Tosis. The next step, well, I wanted to look at the Ramban, but not all of you may have the Ramban, but instead I wanted to just look in the Rif. Because the Rif already provides Rabbeinu Hananel's position. The Rif happens to be located, of all strange things, Shalobim Komo. In fact, Daniel, how did you find the Rif?
It was in the Shizim Gub that said in the Ramban, it had a...
Siyun.
It said where it was, yeah.
At Siyun. Hold on. So if you take a look already, generally if you want to know what the Rif has to say about a Gemara, you look on the Gemara. However, sometimes the Rif writes things Shalobim Komo. So for example, if you were learning Hilchos Nida and learning Maseches Nida, to your great consternation and shock, I believe, that there's no Rif on Nida. So where do you have to look? You got a load of the Rif on Shavuos. It's there because I think it's in the second parak where the Rif has Hilchos Nida. Why? Because there's a Gemara there about a mitzvah to say Sheva Nida, so that becomes the excuse. So there's no, I think there's no Rif at all on Nida. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm certain that the Hilchos Nida and the Rif are there.
I'm also sure most modern editions probably take from Shavuos and still stick it in your...
I bet you not. I bet you there's a Tzion. If you look somewhere in the Gemara Nida, I'm sure there's a comment somewhere that the Rif just look at Maseches Shavuos. But so you should know that when the Rif is Shalo al Asar, when it's not Shalo al Atar, so you should often the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah will tell you where to look. So if you look at the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah on Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, and you look at the Os Gimel, Achireshes Vashotav Abageres Umukaseitz Ein Lohem Tainas Besulim, right? And this is fundamentally not an issue for this parak, because what would make it an issue for this parak? Alex, what would have made the brisa really an issue for this parak? Knas. But here it's talking about Tainis Pesulim, so it really belongs in the first parak. So if you look in Os Gimel, in the Amish Partner Mitzvah, in the little brackets at the end of the note, after listing the Rambam and the Smag and the Torn Shulchan Aruch, Rav Rav Alfas, Perak Aleph de Mechilton, Daf Samach Vav Amid Aleph. Why is it Daf Samach Vav Amid Aleph? Is it on Daf Samach? Let's take a look. This is just a how-to lesson. Okay, hold on. Turn to your... Most of you have an Osva Hadashah. So go in the back to Daf Dalid Amid Aleph in the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvahs. Dape Harif. What?
In the new
Osva Hadar,
it's Tess.
New Osva. I have an old Osva Hadar, I guess. Okay. Oh, yes. Yours has the fancy typeset of the Balamor and Ramban, which is worse than the old one.
I mean, it's more like...
What's that?
It has the annoying punctuation.
That's exactly the point.
But it's definitely more legible.
Yeah, it's more legible, but you're going to get confused when you would do it because...
I won't go blind.
What's that?
I'm not going to go blind trying to read it.
Mesiras Nefesh for a proper understanding of Rabbi Hoseinu
HaKadoshim. How many more Balamar will I be able to see now?
And mistake, you'll be Mala, safer Marley Toyos. Okay. Anyway.
I'll get help.
So if you look in the Rif there... you'll notice that you have all sorts of different paginations. But the only useful pagination to you generally is to tell you which daf in the Bavli the Rif corresponds to. Okay, if you're having trouble finding something. But if you look in my edition on the side, if those of, any of you have a Daf Dalet?
Yeah, I mean that was the one.
If you look towards the bottom right of the riff, you'll see it says Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis in the margin on the right side. And if you don't have my edition, I'm sure some of you have an edition where you cite something like that. Mati?
Which Daf in the Gemara does this correspond?
This is around Daf Yud Aleph, Yud Aleph in the Gemara.
Even said in the
Ozo Hadar, it cites L'Kamah Manavah. So, what is this printing here? What is this Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis? I don't know for sure because I haven't checked, but I know what it is anyway. Where did they get this from? So just a piece of information. When you see references to the Yerushalmi, if you look on the Bar Ilan CD-ROM, for example, they give you two systems. One system is Perek and Halacha, which is imprecise because very often different printings, Yerushalmi has no standardized printing. There is a Tzura Sadaf to the Bavli, but there's no Tzura Sadaf to the Yerushalmi. You can make one up, but very many, many different printings to the Yerushalmi are available, and each one follows their own. The Bavli has a Tzura Sadaf that's fixed in the sense that the first full printing of the Shas in Venice in the early 1520s is what was Koveya, where the Amud begins and ends. And almost every Shas printed later, certainly once you go to a couple centuries later, the shape of the page isn't always identical, but the first and last word on the Amud are. Now today, you can only find the standard Vilna Shas and that offset, or that printing with the same tzura literally. But I grew up in the yeshivas I went to when there were other Shas, like Shas Yonasan, which still has first and last word are the same, but the shape is not always identical. Now, the Yerushalmi's nomenclature is Daf and Amud, the early nomenclature, and that's the only one that you can determine consistently, because that's a reference to the first printed edition of the Yerushalmi in Venice. I don't remember what the year was. I think it's in the 16th century. And the first printing of the Yerushalmi in Venice begins on Daf Aleph, and it has two columns on each page, and therefore on a single piece of paper, you have four columns, and that's why it's Amud Aleph, Amud Beis, Amud Gimel, Amud Dalet. The other feature of the Yerushalmi, which is mildly annoying, is that when they printed each Seder, they didn't restart the pagination with each Masechta. So if you're learning Megillah in the Yerushalmi, it's like somewhere in the Daf Samach or Daf Ayins in Seder Moed, because Shabbos begins Daf Aleph Amud Aleph. Erevin doesn't begin Daf Aleph Amud Aleph, it's somewhere further down the line. I believe the Rif is the same thing, and this is a reference probably to the first printed edition of the Rif. And I believe it's done by Seder. That's my guess. I never actually looked at somewhere in microfilm. I actually have, don't ask why, I have the Seder Nezikin, the first edition, printed edition of the Rif. If someone's really interested, you come to my office, I'll give it to you. You can go to the library and you look at the microfilm and see what happens on Nezikin. But I'm pretty sure that that's why when they give you the reference to the Rif, the Samach Zayin Amud Beis here is a pagination that probably began with Maseches Yevamos, began Daf Aleph. I don't know how the Rif was printed exactly, Hamudim and so on, but that's probably why you are already up to Daf 67, even though you're only on the fourth blot of Ksubas. Obviously, they've changed a lot of the references, but when you go to the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, nobody touched that up. So in the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, he's still working. When is the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah working? I know the answer to this question because I know who he is. I thought he was also the author of the first version of the Masoras HaShas. And he's the same author as the Be'er HaGola, I believe.
I have 1546.
Right, I know this is, it's very early. It's very, very early. And I know who this is because I encountered him somewhere. And he's a major anti-rationalist. Oh, the Shilte Giborim. He wrote the Shilte Giborim, I think.
Yep.
That's right, he wrote the Shilte Giborim. And the author of the Shilte Giborim is, oh my goodness, who is it?
Yeshua Boaz and Shimon.
Okay, but there's more. Is there another name, a last name? Okay, fine. He was a major man. Oh, I know. Wait, in Avodah Zarah, in the first parak, he's a major anti-rationalist. So the Shilte Giborim wrote this all. So in fact, you know how early the Rif must have been printed if he has. Oh, unless you know what? That's not from the Yeshua Boaz. That's a later edition. Over Rav Alphas, it's in brackets, right? There are two parts to the Masoras HaShas, by the way. There's Yeshua Boaz, which is the original one, and then there are the later editions. When you look in, I don't know how they print the Ozo Hadar. When you look in the standard Vilna Shas, some comments in the Masoras HaShas are regular and some are in square brackets. The square brackets are the second layer added later. I don't remember who added those, but they were not from the original, from Yeshua Boaz. So anyway, whoever put this in, whoever put this in, put it in where he was still referencing the riff via the, what again, I'm guessing is the first printed edition. Okay, so a little bit of the history of the printing of the Talmud. If you want more on that, I can give you some recommended readings. But in the meantime, so now let's take out the riff on, it corresponds to approximately Daf Yud Amud Beis in the Gemara. In my riff, it's Daf Dal and Amud Aleph. It's right before the Mishnah that begins, Besula Ksubasa Masayim Ve'Oman Amana. I mean, right before the second Mishnah of the Parah. So if you go back, Garcinan Beperek Elunaros. In my edition, it's about 9 of 10 lines down on Daf Dal and Amud Aleph. First word on the line. So, Shua, do you have it? Or?
I don't have a riff.
You don't have a riff?
Yeah, I got a small one.
Okay.
In the back.
Okay. So, can you get it online? You can. You have to find it. But all right, let me get someone else to read in the meantime. Wait. Sam, I am. What? What's with you guys? Shlaim, go ahead. Part of the duties of Shira system are not reading when nobody else wants to read. No,
also,
kidding.
I read last 2 days ago.
Okay, fine. You bought that. Go ahead. Garcin and Bay Perke Lunaris.
Okay, Reshet Vashub Tava Bogeret and Mukat is in line to Anantatumi. Asuma Ba Island of Yesh line to Anantatumi. Umak Shinan, Ubogeret, and you want to Anantatumim? The Ha Amarav Bogeret, Nus Nimla, Lila Rishona. Alma, it's lots on up to him. D. Wetla, Amai Nus Nimla, Lila Rishona. Hadam Nitahu.
Right, if she's not a bleeding Basula, then why would you be Tola the blood on the first night to on the Basulim? So obviously she must have done him, and therefore she should have tainis Basulim. So the answer is Okay, now, a couple of comments here. Firstly, the Rif's Girsa is like Rabbeinu Hananel. Secondly, here's a very important point in establishing Girsaos. What the Rif said, he said, Garcina Beperek Elunaros. Okay, he's now going to comment, Vahod de Rav. Okay, now forget now. That's the Rif talking. He's commenting now just about a Gemara Nida, about a detail. I apologize for my outburst at you in Seder.
No, that's good.
But now the Rif is commenting about a Gemara Nida, a separate issue. Is everything in between the Rif's quotation of the Gemara? And the answer to that question is no. And this is a very, very crucial nakuda that comes up in a number of places. Number one, there are many mesechtes in Shas, and many places in Shas. It's very common in Bava Metzia and in Brachos, at least the Rishonim note, that we have comments of the Bahag interpolated into the Gemara that became part of the Gemara text. Why? Because apparently the Bahag must have been writing a copy of the Gemara, or somebody following had the Bahag's Peirush on the Gemara, inserted the Peirush into the Gemara, but whenever the Bahag would start talking, whenever this Peirush began, they'd put the word Peirush in, and then they'd quote the Bahag, and then you go back to quoting the Gemara. What happened in many times, and we have evidence for this in the manuscripts, is the word Peirush fell out. What was the result of that? Well, here's the catch. The Halachos Gedolos, as the Gaonim generally, wrote in Babylonian Aramaic, and hence, once the word Peirush falls out, you can no longer tell that which is the Gemara and that which is the Halachos Gedolos anymore, because it blends in seamlessly. No different than when the Amoraim say something and the Stam of the Gemara interprets, you often, unless you're trained to see it, don't notice the seams. You don't notice the transition. So that is how, if you see it glaringly, by the way, in the sixth Perek and Brachos, there a lot of them are marked already in parentheses in the Vilna Shas as not belonging to the Gemara. So that is what happens. It's a similar problem that has to do with reconstructing the Yerushalmi. We have very little manuscript. We have one manuscript for the Yerushalmi, and there are a lot of issues with the manuscript. Hasidei Ashkenaz were very interested in the Yerushalmi in particular, the Rav Yoh and the Ravon. And they quote the Or Zeruah, they quote the Yerushalmi extensively. The problem is that it's often hard to tell when they're quoting and when they're explaining. In other words, because they just explain in passing. Now, the Rif does the same thing here. The Rif quotes the Gemara, but he starts adding his words in. And in the Rif's style of writing, because the Rif also is still writing in Babylonian Aramaic, you have to be very, 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 very careful to know what is the quotation and what is the perush of the Rif. I don't think it's that hard to figure out here, but you have to pay careful attention to it. So go back. I'm going to go back and read again for a moment. Garcina b'perek elunaris hachareshes vashota v'abogeres umukaseitz elin tainis besulim. Hasuma v'ailunis yeshlin tainis besulim. Umakshinon. Okay, that word is not part of the Gemara. Ubogeres ein latinus besulim, va'amara bogeres nostan laila harishona, alma is latinus besulim. Those words are not in the Gemara. Alma is latinus besulim, nor what follows. The ilesle amai nostan laila harishona, hodam nidahi. Okay, umefarkina. That is not in the Gemara. That's the Rif's interpolation. Interpretation. E the kantan tainus besapasua, hachanami de ish latinus besulim. Rif begins his perish again. The whole besula, bogeres pischasasum. Ela hacha b'maya skinon. The ein latinus besulim, the words the ein latinus besulim are not in the Gemara. The kata in tainus damim, the amrin on hay besulahi ela shakala dameha. Those words again are not in the Gemara. But in order to see exactly what the Rif's gear says, you have to strip out the perush. And so all he has in the Gemara is, I'll read now, v'ha'amar rav bogeres nostin la'layla rishona. E the kata in tainus pesa pasua hachinami. Hacha b'mayaskinon, the katayin tainis dam. That's exactly like our girsa, except it's flipped. Okay, in other words, our girsa that we have in our Gemara is what the Rif has, except for the two flipped. There's no other comments, there's no other direction in which he takes it. I say that, it's important. Why? Because that's part of the Ramban's attack on the Rif, on Rabbeinu Chananel, which is that the Teretz is chaser min ha-sefer. Right, but don't think that the Rif had such a fundamentally different girsa. A and B and B and A, they're swapped. That's true. Obviously, it makes a very big difference. But he doesn't have a different girsa in the Gemara. And it's crucial to note that one of the Rif's, I don't know if he was his Rebbe, but certainly he's sort of one of the Rebbe figures of the Rif is Rabbeinu Chananel. And he quotes Rabbeinu Chananel extensively. If Rabbeinu Chananel really had a different girsa that would have solved the problems, I'm not saying anybody claims that he did, that he does, the Rif presumably would have been privy to that girsa. Okay. Now, the Rif has one other comment, which is the background that I gave you in Shir yesterday, not central to understanding the Shach and Tayyid of the Gemara, which is, Kasdan, please read it. Oh, you don't have the Rif there?
I had read it.
You read it. Then he finished it. The Rif says, and by the way, I apologize actually. I may not have been entirely clear when I explained things in Shir the other day about the business of Dam Nida and Besula and so on. So I want to explain it one more time, lest there be any errors. Okay? If a woman has Bia Rishona and it's the first time she is having Bia, period, in her lifetime. So the likelihood is there's going to be bleeding. Now, Dam Maka is not Metameis Nida, but the Chachamim were Choshesh to some extent by Dam Besulim, lest it comes to be confused. When a woman has an injury and she can detect the injury and there's a sensitive spot, so there, under many cases, we are told that even when there's bleeding, it's Dam Maka, it's not a problem, she's Tahora Labayla. They continue being intimate. However, by Dam Besulim, there was a Chobra, beginning with the Mishnah at the beginning of the 10th Perek in Nida in various stages. The maskana of the Gemara, the way we typically read it, is that it doesn't matter how old the girl is when she's getting married, whether or not she has reached menarch, meaning she has begun menstruation. If she bleeds on Laila Rishona, we allow only, bottom line maskana, is that you're only allowed to have Bia Rishona and then she's in Nida. There is, I didn't check, I believe it's a post-Talmudic Chumrah. I don't think it's only the Ramah. I think it's even the Mechaber, but I don't think it's Medina the Gemara. Then we hold that even if they have Bia Rishona, if the woman was a Besula, and there is no Dam whatsoever, it is not impossible. It's not impossible, I am told, based upon what has been explained to me. It is not, it's highly, highly unlikely, but it is possible for the hymen to be intact, and to have Bia, and to have no bleeding. Now, the Gemara talks about that already. The Gemara has a funny Daf Yud, Hatoya, right. I don't want to get into that case.
But that was a different case. You're talking about breaking the hymen. I thought that case was just
Well, I know. So I'm believing it doesn't have to entail, you may not break the hymen fully. It is possible to have bia, from what has been explained to me, if I understood correctly. Without, you might break it, might only slowly sort of push it back. You're not going to completely tear it. But done in a certain way, which is not typically going to happen, Lila Rishona, with a chasan and gala, it is possible not to have bleeding. It's not totally out of the realm of possibility.
But it's still intact after that?
It's still going to be partially intact. You might be sort of stretching it. Eventually, you might render it moot without actually getting bleeding. Again, it's not normally going to happen. But should there be a case where they had bia and she was a basula, and there's no blood whatsoever, so even though I think al pidina de Gemara, they should be mutter, she should not be an ida. So there was a chumra that we are afraid that there was a tipas dam, and the shechvas zera was mechape the tipas dam, and that's why she didn't see any blood. Okay? Now, so that is the din lemaisa, that bia rishona, bizman hazeh, if she is a basula, is automatically renders her an ida, even if you don't find any of the bleeding. Now, Rav spoke about a case in which we allow them, even though she finds blood after having bia rishona, right? She finds blood on the sheet. We allow them to have bia more that night, first night only. And we're told that any dam that night is not making her anida because we assume it's dam besulam. But any bleeding that would happen after the first night, if they'd have bia again and there was bleeding, you can't be told that on the besulam. Now, what case is that exactly? So that has to correspond to something in the Mishnah. So that's what the Rif says here. Vaha. Right. So that's the case of the Mishnah, the third case, of Higiyas Mana Liros Filorasa. Right. The Mishnah had begun by stating that if you have basically a katana who has not reached menarche, she hasn't menstruated yet, so Beis Hillel says, you can, as long as she's feeling pain from the basulum, as long as you know the basulum are still there, she can go for days and days and days and days, be bleeding after each bia, and we assume it's dam basulum. Why? Because it probably is dam basulum, because she's not getting her period because she hasn't reached menarche yet. Peshamai said only 4 nights. The next step in the Mishnah was higia zmana liros velo ra'asa. She had reached the age of menarche, but she hadn't, at, you know, a typical age, but she actually hadn't experienced bleeding, had experienced menstruation. In that case, Beis Hillel said arba leilos, arba leilos, and Beis Shammai said only laila rishon, I think. And then in the maskana of the Mishnah, he gives that rasa already, rasa va'oda b'vesavia, she already has menstruated. So then Beis Hillel says laila rishona, Beis Shammai says bia rishona. The Gemara in the end says that nimnu v'gamru, that we don't accept, as we're machmir on rasa already, that the bia rishona bol bilas mitzvah uparish. There's a question, what about the earlier dinim? But the way the Rif says it, Rav Shita here is dealing with a case of higias mana liros, but lo ra'asa. Namely, a bogeres is higias mana liros. She should have gotten at this point her period, but she didn't. She didn't. And therefore, we are more makel to allow not just bia rishona, but any of the bias and lila rishona. We don't treat that blood as dam besulim. The Rif here is just commenting that Rav's case, post Mishnaic, has to refer to that case. It doesn't really matter for our sugya. All it means is you have a case where you can be tola by a bogeres, you can be tola the dam on dam besulim, which means that a besula bleeds. So the Rif now says, So the Rif explains now what is the resolution of the Gemara. The Gemara says that some besulim have dam, some besulim don't have dam. But all besulos, in other words, some bogros besulos, but all bogros besulos have tainas pesach pasuach. So what was the answer of the Gemara to the stira between Rav and the Braisa? The Braisa said, Ein lohem tainas besulim. The Rav said that not yeshun tainas besulim, but they have blood. So what's the Gemara's resolution? How does the Gemara interpret the Braisa of Ein lohem tainas besulim? The katan tainas damim. So the Braisa says that Ein lohem tainas besulim, the katan tainas damim. So why doesn't he have a tainas besulim? Because some bogros don't have dam. That's why he can't be toin tainas damim. He could have been toin tainas besulim, by the way. But the Braisa doesn't say that. The Braisa says Ein lohem tainas besulim, meaning he can't be toin tainas damim because some besulos do not have dam. But Rav said that you can be tola olayla rishona. Why? Some besulas do have dam. So that's the resolution. Okay? So here's the question. This is the Ramban's question. Twofold. Number one, why does the Gemara even mention Pesach Pasuach? It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. In other words, the solution for Rav, when the Gemara says e de katan tan is Pesach Pasuach, what? That's to explain. The Braisa doesn't say here yesh la tainas besulim. It says ein la tainas besulim. So it's true that if he had been toin Pesach Pasuach, he would have tainas besulim. But Rav never said yesh la tainas besulim. Rav said she had dam nida. And the Braisa implies that she doesn't have dam nida. So all the Gemara had to say was some besulos have dam. That's Rav. Some besulos bogros. Some besulos bogros don't have dam. That's why ein la tainas besulim. In Hanami, had he been toin Pesach Pasuach, it would have been in a taina. It would have been tainas besulim. But nobody says that, and that's not what we're talking about. That's not the issue here. So why mention tainas Pesach Pasuach? And the Iker Teretz of the Gemara, it's really the same question. The Iker Teretz of the Gemara is chaser mena sefer. It's not here. The Iker Teretz is some besulos, some bogros have dam, some bogros don't have dam. Rav, bogros who has dam. Braisa, we assume it's a bogros who didn't have dam. What kind of a teretz is the Gemara's not giving the teretz, Alex?
Just to be sure, just to be clear, this is the same question we asked yesterday.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping to make it clear now, because I'm not sure that everybody got it. So the Rif sets it up, and you see the Rif doesn't have it in his Gemara. It's not that he's a different Girsa. This is just the way he deals with it. It's very, 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 very difficult.
The way that Rabbi Hananel sets it up, makes it much more Pesach Pasuach oriented.
Except that it's irrelevant.
He doesn't make.
I mean, the Rif also.
Not just in that line. He feels that the question in the Stira is completely based on Pesach Pasuach.
No, but the Stira is based upon Yesh Latanis Pasul and Latanis Pasul. That's what you mean.
Which
would then boil down to you answering the question by saying Yesh Latanis Pasul and Pesach Pasuach and Latanis Pasul and Tanis Domin. Problem is, the Gemara never posed that.
Before that, but that he feels in the question, it's right. There's ein latanis besulim. Why? Because Pesach.
Some don't have dam.
The way he reads it is, Bogeres nosen la laila harishon. He reads that as, and therefore she must have.
Damim.
No. If you read through Rabbeinu Chananel, very specifically.
Where are you reading? In the Gemara? Printed on the side?
No. If you look up in the Rabbeinu Chananel in the Tosos.
On Daf Tes?
Harash.
Tazarash, okay.
Tazarash, and you look at the wording of the Rabbeinu Chananel.
For what, I say that not in a mocking sense, but for what it's worth. Right.
Okay. The way he puts it, I read through there, I'm trying to remember why he had to do it, but he's reading Bogres Nos on the Laila Harisho, and therefore there is blood. That proves there must have been a pet. That implies that she must have a Pesach Satim. And he reads the Gemara as only having a question about Pesach Satim or not.
I see what you're saying. I think I read this Tosfos Rashi.
Now, you're right in saying that that's an assumption and how he reads it that way. It's totally colored by the way that he reads the answer. That he reads that the entire Gemara has always been talking about Pesach Pasuach.
One second. Okay, I acknowledge it does address the Ramban's kasha.
It doesn't address it so fully, meaning it's saying he reads the entire Gemara in a way of Pesach Pesuach.
The Tosfos HaRash wants to say when the Gemara says.
When it says Bogeres Noslim La Laila Harishon, that's. Or the stira that they're putting up.
So no, you have to. The way he answers it is by saying that when we say Bogeres Ein Latinus Besulim, and the Havamin of the Gemara is period, there's no taina whatsoever against the Bogeres, right? According to the Rif and the Rabbi Nachmanel, there is a taina Besulim against the Bogeres, namely Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. But on the assumption that there's no taina, and if there's no taina Pesach Matzasi by Bogeres, why not? Because the assumption would be that Pesach would be Pasuach. You expect it to be Pasuach. So if that were the case, and we know that she has no damim. We know that she has no damim for sure. So if that were the case, if Pischa were Pasuach, so there's no way in the world that we could possibly be Tola the dam on dam Besulim. Well, of course not. She has no damim. So the Rabbi Yochanan would say no. If a woman was Pischa Sagor, I mean, if a Mukaseitz were Pischa Sagor, or Bogeris with Pischa Sagor, so then if they had been found Dam, since a few Besulim have Dam, and you'll say, since it was so Dachuk, he was, use the expression Mashir Tsoros. You know what Mashir Tsoros is?
Dislodging pebbles.
Yes. What does dislodging pebbles mean?
It's in the first parak somewhere.
Yes, it is. Dislodge pebbles means the following. If you have a wall and you run through the wall, imagine like in the cartoons, what do? You make a hole in the wall. What happens when the next person goes through the wall?
He just goes through the wall.
He goes through the same hole.
He goes through the same hole, except that he's probably not shaped exactly the same way you are. And he may brush against the side of the wall, and what happens? He's Mashir Tsoros. He knocks off pebbles, right? Now the opening is... Oh, there, but it's all narrow. And so just in walking through, you sometimes bump against it because it's so narrow. So he's Mashir Tsoros. So he says like this, that if some Besulos have Dam, so if Pischa was Pasuach, so there's no pressure when he's having the Bia, so we would not, the possibility of having the Dam is remote enough, given that there's no stress, no pressure, and it's usually not Dam anyway, we're not going to be told that the Dam Nida being Mashir Tsoros. If, however, because that's what's happening by a Bogeris where there's bleeding of Dam Besulim, it's Tsoros, right? The Besulim are mostly gone, but there's a little bit intact. So the way Tosus Rash reads Rabbeinu Chananel is that if it was Pischa Pasuach, if that's the expectation by a Bogeris, then there's no way we could be told a Dam Nida. But once you say that Pischa Dam Besulim. But once you say that Pischa is supposed to be Sagor, so then it's conceivable that Rav would say you can be told the Dam on Dam Besulim, because Pischa Sagor, even though she typically doesn't bleed. So that was the Gemara's Kasha. You see, according to Rav, that there should be a Tainas Besulim of Pesach Pasuach. Because otherwise he would never be Mekel on the Dam. The Gemara's answer is Ein Achanami. There is a Tainas Pesulim Pesach Pasuach. The Braisa that says Ein Tainas Pesulim, it's the Katan Tainas Damim. It's a very, very creative reading. A very creative reading. I'm not going to...
Bond's question of Iker Chasim Rasefer can still apply. Meaning...
The root of the question, it's not such a strong question. See, the point is the root of the question, according to this reading, the root is that some Besulim some Bogeres have bleeding, but usually don't. Right? So that's the root of the question, but the actual answer is, the Kasha was, you see from Rav, that everybody knew already, everybody knew that a Bogeres doesn't have Dam, or usually doesn't have Dam. But you see from Rav, that it must be the Pischa Sagor, because if it weren't Sagor... Right? If it weren't Sagor, so then we never could be Tola. But if the fact that Rav is Tola, the Dam on Dam Basulim, shows you the Pischa Sagor, so how can you say Ein Latanis Basulim? The answer is Ein Latanis Basulim, Tanis Damin. No, it's there. The full answer is there.
The
Hesper behind the answer is not there.
Yeah, the question that's actually have with all this, though, it seems like it's an Achlokas and Metzias between Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi about. Is there
Rabbeinu Hanan and Rashi.
Rabbeinu Hanan and Rashi about how many women have blood. Like Rashi, according to Rashi, everyone should have Damin. But not everyone would feel a Pesach Pesuach. Whereas.
Yeah. I happen to think, by the way, that in all probability Rashi is correct in Metzias. So I don't understand. The answer, if it were machlokas about Pesach Pasuach, I could see how people would disagree on the Metzias because it's hard to be Mavarer, right? The Gemara itself knows that. The Gemara says in the first parak I mentioned this yesterday, the day before, that if a guy says Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, he's Naaman, and we give him, and Rav Nachman gave him Malkus too. What do you mean? So the answer is, yeah, we believe him, but it's because he's experienced. That's why he knew it was Pesach Pasuach. And then the Gemara suggests that maybe there's a difference between a Bachor and an Almon. Right? Someone who married already, so he understands what Pesach Pasuach, Pesach Sagor is. The person who himself is having Bi Rishon the first time has no idea. So I could understand why, and it's the kind of question you ask people, it's kind of hard to get a straight answer. Did you think when you had the Bia, was it Sagor, was it Pasuach? But Dam is generally pretty objective. And my sense is, I haven't done a survey on this, my sense is that there's bleeding, real bleeding. And today, people getting married are clearly bogers. Right? They're not even 13, bogeris 13. They're bogeris 20 or 22 or 24 or 26.
Yeah.
They're stopped. So the truth is, in Metzias, Rashi is almost certainly correct. So the question is, Rabbeinu Hanan should have done that also. That's what I don't quite know. I don't know what the answer is. So yeah. So you think you're right for being bothered? You're right for being bothered.
Okay. Unless everyone in Rabbeinu Hanan circles.
Was what?
Run Rabbeinu Hanan circles.
Married.
I don't know, like at what point.
I hear what you're saying.
Is it definitely
I hear what you're saying. You say, suggested that maybe in that Tzkufa in Sfarad, they were getting married young, so it wasn't as common.
North Africa.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
The Rambam's delineation, he has four places. What does he call them? Shinar? Does he kill Eretz Yisrael? The Rambam talks about where that they sit on pews in Arei Edom and Aratzos. He has Shinar Svarad. I forget what the other two are. You have to see the breakdown. Anyway, fine. So the point is, it's Sephardic lands. Okay, I didn't mean Spain. No, I did not mean Spain.
Like, it definitely seems like the Gemara is. It seems like
was common. No, I understand. So okay, so it's possible. That might be the explanation. Moshe.
Yeah, so sorry, the Ramban's question, was that on Rashi's Gersa?
No, Rabbeinu Hananel. So the point is that, according to the Rif, let's say the Rif, the answer to the Gemara is that some Basulim have Dam, some Basulim don't have Dam. Rav said you can be Tola because some Basulim have Dam. The Braisa said, Ein Lantinus Basulim because many Basulis don't have Dam, so you can't complain, we need even find blood. But if you had said, Pesach Pesuch Matzah, so you would have a Tinus Basulim. The problem is that, according to the Rif presentation, the resolution to the Stira is, some Basulis have Dam, some don't have Dam. That's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara says, "Either katan tanis pesapasua hachanami hachamai skina the katan tanis damim." The answer is chasam and asefer, and no one should have even mentioned pesapasua because nobody's talking about the issue. Right? Nobody's talking about yesh latanis pesulim. They're talking about ein latanis pesulim versus tolan kolai lebishona. The answer is ein latanis pesulim because some don't have dam, tolan kolai lebishona because some do have dam. Right, and she hasn't gotten her period yet, as the Rif points out. Okay, so but. That the Gemara didn't say that as the answer. The Gemara said the Katan Tainus Pesvasoch versus the Katan Tainus Dam. That's what the question is. Okay, I think we have beaten this the death more than the Mukasets. Okay, so let's. What's that? What's hard? Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. All right, so now let's just start the next Gemara. I want to ask my Kasha and Rashi because it's been bothering me to no end. It's the Pandora's box.
Oh.
All right. Who was going to read for me who hasn't done their job? Yeah, Din. You haven't read in a while.
No.
Omer Mishim Rabbi Meir. All right, the answer is because she gets knocked to the ground. So the Gemara answers. Okay. Happens to all girls. Now the truth is, there could have been a very obvious answer here.
She would fall more often.
Yes.
She's blind.
Excellent. And who says that? Rav Pinchas Achi Rav Aaron Alevi. In the answer of the Gemara, he's going to say that's a piece. That's a factor. Okay. There are two factors working. Okay. There are two factors working. Okay. But actually, yes, that seemed to be such an obvious teretz. Why the Gemara bothered to say kulu, you know, chabute nami mechabte? It's kind of hard to understand, right? Yes, Asuma is falling down because, you know, we maintain balance generally with three systems. Number one, there's our vision. Number two is there's balance, the inner ear, the fluids and pressure and so on helps strengthen the balance. And number three, the proprioception of our feet. There are a lot of nerves, extremely large number of nerves in the endings of the feet, and they have very intense calibration. And as I like to say, kol darshan darshan farzich, the less you have between your foot and the ground, the more rapid the feedback is from your feet to your brain, which means you are less likely to lose your balance. Whereas those of us in our profession, you are much less likely to twist an ankle on an uneven surface if you're barefoot, because your brain gets instant feedback. There's nothing blocking the nerves, you know, getting instant feedback, as opposed to a thick sole. So those are three systems. So a Suma is automatically missing one. So the Suma has to rely upon the inner ear system, and she has to rely upon her feet, but she loses vision. Like, you know that it's harder for you to keep your balance when it's dark out, right? It's harder. It's not impossible, but it's harder, right? Because you don't see. When you see, if you start tilting, you immediately, your brain picks up tilt, right? Your gyroscope, your internal gyroscope immediately corrects you. So that would have been the obvious teretz, but the Gemara doesn't say that for the moment. Okay, so the Gemara answers, yeah, lots of girls fall. Okay, so most girls fall, and what happens? Roos. That's by the way, it's like a double entendre, it's a double meaning here. But kulan roos, they see what?
Blood.
So they go to the ima and say, ima, this is what happened, and now I'm bleeding. And what does the mother say? Honey, welcome to Facts of Life. You're Mukasetz. And Zo Eino Roa, she doesn't, too many. She's blind. And obviously she can't see the blood. She doesn't realize she bled afterwards. Therefore, Eino Marli, but she doesn't show her mother and she doesn't realize. So what does Rashi say? Kula Roos. If they do, if the basulum were damaged, they do see bleeding. Umaris la'iman. Right. So the mothers tell them, honey, you're mukasetz. And then when they go on a date, they're supposed to tell the guy at some point, you know, I'm mukasetz. Or, you know, before the wedding, at some point. And if she doesn't, hitatu. She doesn't tell him, she has deceived him. However, v'zoein erovin v'ein amara la'ima. Okay. Alex?
Just a quick question. Yes, is there a good assumption to assume that just because she can't see the blood, she's not aware that she's bleeding, able to mention anything?
I don't know if that's what the Gemara assumes. I don't know. What's the problem with Rashi?
That there's no difference, that this is within Rabbi Meir, and there's no difference if you're whether or not she's aware.
Did you figure out the question on your own, or did you read Tosis?
I don't remember.
No, I don't want to know that. I want to know when you read the Rashi, immediately your antennae go up. Daniel?
Is it the down part because the previous sugya seemed to understand that?
No. Red flags! You should be waving red flags.
Is that a needed joke?
No. It wasn't. It wasn't. Okay? If I sell you a behema, and you shech the behema, and it turns out there is a hole in the stomach, what is the din? Mekachtos. Question. When I sold you the shore, am I Superman? Do I have X-ray vision? In fact, X-ray vision might not be enough. I may need CT vision. Do I have CT vision that I can tell that there's a hole in the stomach? No. I had absolutely no idea there was a hole in the stomach. Not a clue. Is it a Mekachtos? Yes. Because to be a Mekachtos doesn't require deceit on the part of the seller, or the buyer for that matter. I can be unaware that the object is defective, and it is a Mekach Taos. I am told by someone who has done Dayanus that when they have cases of people get married in certain Hasidic groups where they get married very young, they get married at 16 or 17, and sometimes there are psychiatric conditions that are already present but not showing any symptoms, but they vadai will manifest themselves. The person claimed, and I don't think the scientific evidence is clear to this, but if it is, that there are different kinds of schizophrenia, and certain kinds of schizophrenia, if you were to do a genetic testing when the child was 5, even though there are no symptoms, you know for sure that after they go through puberty, you know, kimat vadaus, that they will have schizophrenia. But nobody knew at the time, because they were 16 when they got married. Right, there are situations he has told me that that people were gay and they had no idea. Their mamish had no idea. I mean, you grow up in a very insular community, you don't know anything about these things. You don't find out until he gets married, the wedding night. And right now, those are things. Now I'll leave the second example out, but the first example, if it's true that scientifically the condition were there, or I'll give you a simple example. A chassam kala get married, and then he wakes up the morning after the wedding with double vision. They go to the hospital, and he's got a tumor in his head, Rahmana Litzlan, the size of a grapefruit. That was there the day before. It just wasn't there to the line to create symptoms. Right? Now, there may not be grounds for Tos in that case, because maybe she might have stayed with the marriage anyway. It's not inconceivable. But assuming that you knew that no woman would marry a guy in such a circumstance if she knew, that's a Mekach Tos. He didn't deceive her. He had, he's asymptomatic. He had no idea. So the definition, whether something is a toast or not, so we think, doesn't depend upon the intentions of the person, of the non-aggrieved party. If being a mukaseit constitutes a toast, it doesn't matter whether she knew and concealed it from him, or she didn't know and therefore obviously didn't reveal it to him. It still should be mekach toast. If being a mukaseit is objectively speaking a tos, where we can claim he would not have married her without it, or it's at least enough for the Dine Mamanos to say that he wouldn't have married her, so then it doesn't matter whether she knew or not. Not because she's a bad person, it's a mekach tos because the facts were she wasn't the goods that were supposed to have been delivered, just the way it is, not because anybody did anything bad. Benny? No, Rashi says. No, but right now we know she wasn't the Basula. Right? Let's assume for the moment that she doesn't bleed. So we know. We know now she's not a Basula. The only choices are, for Rashi, the only choices are she either was a Mukaseit or a Drus Hashish. But she didn't know. And that's why she didn't tell him. So she gets a gold star for being not a dishonest person, but unless he was deceived. Not he wasn't deceived. He didn't get what was promised wasn't delivered.
Isn't what Rashi is saying that Asuma has, it's the assumption is that she is already a Mukas 8, and therefore there's not even any deception.
Yeah, I'm not sure where are you from?
You want to say, I hear what you're saying in the second. Zeshe nech tseknasa v'cheskas nech betes knasa. So he knew what he was getting. Okay, so you solved my problem. So I don't have to say anything. Okay, fine. So I'm glad we did that. I'm still bothered. I'm still... I'll put aside Tosis's question. Right, you have to say, in the first part, the fact that she didn't reveal it means okay, so I retract my question. Excellent. So that's similar explanation to Rashi. In other words, it's not that it's not a toast. It's that he knows. It's that he knows.
It's not about her deception. It's about what is he aware of? She's a trefa.
No, I understand. I understand. That answers my question. That answers my question. Okay. I want to think about it further, but thank you. I think that solves the problem. Okay, so now tomorrow, if I don't have any further questions on that, we will pick up with Tosfos. And then after that, we will move on to finish the Gemara and Tola Mishnah.